welcome back to the Song Capture Podcast. My name is Chris Clayton. I'm so glad you're back with us for season two of this podcast. We had great intention of getting this podcast off the ground for season two a few weeks ago, but with the pandemic, we had to push pause, kind of regroup, but I'm excited to launch out today with our first episode of season two. This season is not going to disappoint. In fact, it's been worth the wait. We have some great, incredible guests on this season so far. In fact, we're adding and expanding this podcast. We're actually going to be adding some bonus episodes to this season, helping introduce some new worship writers, some new worship leaders to you, our listeners, along with some bonus episodes that give you resources outside of Song Capture to help you grow as a songwriter. I cannot wait to introduce some of these new friends of mine. Kicking off season two is an amazing worship leader, an amazing songwriter, and the native Texan, just like myself. We have Cody Carnes on the show. We're going to hear Cody's story of songwriting, how he got into it, his journey into it, his process behind songwriting, and also talk a little bit about Texas barbecue. But more than anything else, we're going to unpack the song, The Blessing. If you haven't heard the song, you've been living under a rock, or you've been in some deep quarantine because it's impacted the church in a massive way in such a short amount of time, and we talk about that on this interview. So given the pandemic situation, we've had to do most of these interviews over Zoom. So thanks for your patience on the audio quality. Much appreciated. We're excited to kick this off. Let's get to it. My interview with Cody Carnes. Hey, Cody. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good. Good to be here.
Good to see you. I'm glad to be on with a fellow Texan today. It's awesome.
Yes, man. We got to go get some barbecue when this whole quarantine's over.
Man, I just smoked a brisket the other day, my very first one.
And just leave it on the porch. I'm going to come back.
Contactless delivery. That's what we'll do. Yeah. So, yeah, dude, I miss some good Texas barbecue and Tex-Mex. So,
yes, man.
For those that are listening, Cody and I are both in Nashville, and so Tex-Mex and good Texas barbecue is hard to come by.
It is very hard. You just have to go back to Texas for it. That's the only solution.
So, man, as we're recording this, we're hopefully on the tail end of this whole COVID thing, but depends who you ask, right?
So, yes.
How are you and the fam? How y'all been doing with everything?
We're good. We're healthy. It's which is the most important thing, and we've got a case of cabin fever. That's about the only thing that we're sick with right now.
Yeah.
But we're making it though. It's in a way it's a beautiful thing. I mean, obviously the circumstances, people that are sick, it's not good. You don't want that. But at the same time, man, I think that it's kind of resetting some things in our culture. It's resetting some stuff, just the value of family and a slower life. And, you know, we don't have to kind of live life on this freight train going downhill. You know, we can chill and take a walk around the neighborhood and have a good time with our family. And I hope that we come out of this, you know, still carrying with us the things that were good about this season and implementing kind of a new way of life when things get reopened, where we can just balance that a little bit better the craziness. So
that's good. Anything fun in Carnes' house through this process that you've been doing or learned about each other?
Oh man. I mean, we're having to invent all these games with our kids. I invented like a game for Canyon to eat his snacks, like numbered them and have him roll a dice and he has to like eat whatever. I mean, we're doing all kinds of stuff, you know, but Carrie and I have honestly, we've probably been working harder in the quarantine than we've worked in a long time. Just with me releasing a record and then The Blessing coming out. And I mean, it was a crazy time, honestly, for us to like be off work. It hasn't really happened, you know, thank God for technology.
Yeah,
we've been able to still make music and talk to people and stuff, but it's been full on for us, man. We've been working full time from home. So
I hear you. So yeah, the worship pastors and worship leaders have not gotten this time off.
Everyone's busier than ever.
I've joked like most worship pastors around the whole world have had to become video editors and social media kings and queens. And
that's
like,
right.
They just, their job description expanded. So
that's right. We're all going to come out of this with more tools in our tool belt, man. You know,
you're going
to be able to add some things to your resume when you're done.
I agree. Well, man, we met a few years ago in Texas when you were part of Gateway there in South Lake, and I was in Grapevine, and our paths crossed. And just love your heart and love what God is doing in your ministry and both you and Carrie. But man, just love how God has really expanded. But I love to take it back to the very beginning.
about kind of your journey as a songwriter specifically. What kind of bit you to get that, you know, that part of you going, and tell me about all that.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it goes back to really just growing up into musical family, growing up really loving music my whole life. You know, I knew from a young age that I wanted to do that with my life, just be a musician. And then, you know, started leading worship when I was in high school at my youth group. And that's when I fell in love with the intersection of, you know, music and leading people to the presence of God. And, but I was in bands all in high school. I was in dumb, like, you know, like hardcore bands and stuff when that was a big deal. When Tooth & Nail was massive, I was in bands that tried to like sound like Tooth & Nail bands. And so we were always creating something. We were always writing music. And I think whenever I graduated high school, moved to Dallas and started becoming a part of Gateway, that's when I really realized like, I'm called to be a worship leader. I'm called to do this. I really want to do this with my life. And so I really just dove into that. And naturally, you know, just having been writing songs or trying to write songs for a while at that point, it just felt like a natural thing to say, okay, I feel like I have an idea, or I feel like I wanna have a certain song that I, you know, I'm wanting to say something when I lead worship. So why don't I create a song that says this, you know? And so, so Gateway was just really kind of a big part of that. Just that was the place that I was able just to kind of learn how to do that and write songs. And there, you know, I was able to lead them at church if they were good, you know, I'd show them to people and they'd be like, yeah, you should lead that. Okay. And that just kind of all started there. And, so I remember, even funny enough, like whenever God was calling me to be a worship leader, you know, in Dallas, I remember having this thought of like, cause I was in rock bands and stuff at the time and pop rock stuff, you know, and I was like, and I was writing songs like that, but I couldn't write worship songs at the time. And I remember thinking like, God, if you want to be a worship leader, like, I don't want to, because I just don't want to sing everybody else's song for the rest of my life. Like, mm-hmm. That just seems so lame to me, you know? I almost felt like I couldn't be creative if I was going to be a worship leader, or, you know, whatever kind of thing I believed back then. And I remember God telling me so, so strongly to do it, like to quit the band and be a worship leader, like focus there. And I sat down with the band one night and I was like, guys, I'm quitting. Like, I feel like God's telling me to quit. And it was crazy.
Wow.
And literally the next morning I wrote my first worship song. I wrote a chorus and a bridge. And I was like, whoa, like this feels actually like, feels pretty like good at the time, you know? I remember going to church and showing it to people at church and they were like, yeah. And I was leading at a conference that weekend too. And they were like, hey, why don't you just sing that in the next session? Like, just throw it in somewhere. I was like, okay. And I remember singing it and seeing people respond. And it was like, whoa. And what's crazy is, I feel like what God taught me in that is like, I'll always call you into something before I give you the tools, because I want you to step into it in faith. I don't want you to depend on yourself and step into it. I want you to depend on me. And it was crazy, because as soon as I stepped into being a worship leader, saying, God, okay, I give you this part of my life, like, I'm going to do this. It was like, that's when I wrote my first worship song, you know? And so it's kind of instilled this thing in me that songs are a gift. And like, it's consistent. Every time I'm a part of writing a song, I'm like, I'm not this good of a songwriter. I know myself, but I think that God, if you're just willing to be available and to sit down and to put in the work and the time, if you're willing to have this antenna up, you know, I kind of see it that way. Like, I have this antenna up and I'm always listening and like, God, are you saying anything right now? Do you want to say anything right now? Are there any? And I feel like through that antenna will come like these burdens, these ideas for songs, you know?
Yeah.
And that burden turns into the diligent work, the digging, the getting ideas down, the searching for how to communicate that burden the best way possible and collaborating with other people and, you know, that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, it's a gift. And, you know, I can remember the songs that have been special that I've written in my life. Like, I remember every single one of them being like, I don't even know why I'm getting this song right now, but thank you, God. And okay, I'll do whatever I need to do to like help people hear this, you know?
Yeah. So I'm curious, at what moment through that journey though, did you feel, okay, I have a little bit of confidence as a songwriter? Because, I mean, granted, we're all artists and we're all a little bit insecure in what we do.
Yeah.
So, but at some point, most songwriters go, okay, I can get in a room and I know that I'm not cocky, but I'm confident that I can, what I'm hearing on that antenna that you put up,
right.
I can get out into a tangible form. How long did it take you to feel that confidence?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm just now kind of there.
Yeah.
I'm just now to the point where I feel the confidence is a good thing. It's not an arrogant thing. Or if it becomes arrogant, you have to keep it in check.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing because what confidence in a writing session does is it helps you have the guts to say it. Because a writing session can be so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been so many times in a writing session I've thought something, but I wasn't confident enough to share it. And it may have actually hindered the song. Like that may have been God saying, you need to share this to get to where I'm leading you guys. And because I wasn't confident, I just didn't. Cause I thought, it's not a good idea. It's a dumb idea. You know? Yeah. So confidence is good. I think I've just not gotten there. I think, you know, my time at Gateway helped a lot. When I first started writing songs, I just had a lot of support there. I had a lot of just people like, wow, this is amazing. And you could just kind of see the connection, I guess, I was having with people. And so I think just repetition and rapport and, just you have to be faithful and obedient to what you feel like God is giving you to release and or not even release, maybe just write. And you know, you have to just be obedient with that. You don't even know where it's going to go, what's going to happen with it. But if you feel like God's giving it to you, I think you've got to steward that. And then as the time goes on, and you know, for me, it was just releasing songs. I mean, for me, it was massive in the last year. Just, you know, if I think about a year ago, before Nothing Else was out, you know, before I had written, I'd released any of these songs as the record, I hadn't written a whole lot of worship songs, you know, any songs that were really seemed to resonate with people. And it was kind of just like seeing one after the other resonate the way that they did. It built that confidence to kind of help me realize like, okay, like God is speaking something to me right now. I don't know why I just know that he is. And I'm just doing my best to, you know, to steward that. But I still sit in writing sessions and I'm like, I don't think I'm very good at this.
Yeah. No, I would 100% concur with that.
There's definitely times, you know, but see, what's funny about that is now I'll have people try to like, don't want to write with me because of a song like Nothing Else or whatever, Run to the Father or whatever. And then but then sometimes like we don't get a good song and I'm like, I'm sorry. Like I feel like you had this kind of unfair expectation a little bit because honestly, that was just a crazy moment I had with God, and for whatever reason, it turned out to you don't know why
you can't predict it.
Yeah. No, you can't predict it. You don't know when you're going to sit down. I did not know that I was going to sit down and write. None of us do any of the songs we've written that have done anything. We don't. We didn't know that day we were going to write that song, and so you just have to be diligent. You just have to be faithful. You just have to keep picking up the pen and sitting down and doing it. I think God looks for the diligent ones. I really do. And I'm challenging myself with this more and more all the time. I think God looks for the diligent ones. God looks for the people that he knows if he gives you something to say that you're going to really be diligent to do it, to put everything you have into it. It's good to be like a good craftsman of a song. It's good. You shouldn't just rely on that, I don't think. It's a blend of like encounter with God, word from God, and then craftsman. It's got to be both things. If you just write songs without the power and presence of God, it's just empty. Yeah. But if you only have the power and presence of God and you haven't developed that craft, then you're not going to really be able to effectively say it the way that's gonna help people understand, and it's gonna really captivate. So you've got to kind of have this both, you know, tandem thing.
And that's the unique thing about writing for the church, because you know, you write pop, you know, you really could just work on your craft and just be attuned to pop culture.
Yes,
and,
of course.
And then let pop culture drive your craft. But in really, like, your craft is driven by the presence of God in many ways, because it's a both, like you've been saying. So I think that's really good to camp on.
Absolutely.
I'm curious about your process. So every writer, I mean, I've got my process. Every writer I've ever talked to has got their process. Where is there a typical Cody Carnes process of writing songs, or is it just however it unfolds in the room or by yourself, lyrics first, melody first? Kind of walk me through that.
I don't know that it's really super typical. I guess the consistency that I find is, like I said, it's that antenna up.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. you know, I do it all the time. I'm still doing it. I'm doing it today. I'm just like, hey, you know, is there anything I'm processing my thoughts. I'm processing this quarantine. I'm processing what I feel like God is speaking to me in this process. And then I'm asking the question, like, am I supposed to write something with it? Like, you know, I'm always, so it's antenna up, whatever I feel like, if I feel like I get a mess, like something that's like, oh wow, that's a burden. Now it goes from like my antenna to like my chest. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it goes like, I feel this burden to do something with this, to write a song. And then it goes from there to like my hands, you know. I've never thought about this analogy, but it's literally just like, this is what happens. You know?
Yeah, it's good.
But it goes from there to like my hands, and then it's like putting the work in and sitting down at the piano or guitar, or even just my notes in my phone or something to get it out. Voice memos, you know, something to kind of get the idea to a place where I can at least present it or at least explain it if I'm in a writing session, you know. And then oftentimes, you know, I write sometimes by myself all the way through, but most of the time it's just kind of once you get it to that point where you can even just present, where you can get somebody on the same train as you, you know, that to understand where your thoughts came from and your burden is, to try to get somebody to share that burden with you in a writing session. I get it to that point and then I take it to somebody and I just, you know, and then a lot of times you present something in a writing session and it doesn't click. I usually try to go to a writing session with like a couple ideas just so. And a lot of times neither idea gets used, but at least I know I came prepared, you know. But oftentimes somebody else will have a better start. It's like, oh yeah, let's do that, you know.
Yeah.
But I like coming prepared. I've been to a few sessions where I wasn't prepared and it's the worst feeling in the world, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I always come in with a couple little things like that usually, you know. Yeah. And then it's often, yeah, it's a connection with people. It's a co-writing thing. And sometimes those songs get finished that day. Nothing else was finished the day we wrote it. The blessing was finished in the session we wrote it in, you know, but songs like Run of the Father, Christ Be Magnified, those were started together and then they were written over the course of months, just over text chain, you know, over voice memo exchange, over writing lyrics over text, you know, which I love that process.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So yeah, every kind of thing ends up different.
But. Yeah. As far as, do you build tracks when you write? Talk about maybe a demo process for you. Does that kind of vary from session to session, song to song?
I'm not really that way, but I do love writing with people that do that. That's one of my favorite vibes to write with, if somebody that is very talented in that way, that writes that way. I can build tracks. The most that I usually do is I like to get a good vibe. And so usually it's just a great piano sound. Mm-hmm. Like I love like upright piano. So usually I have some kind of upright piano dialed up. If I'm like responsible that day for the track and producing and recording and all that, then I'll just have a great upright kind of dialed up. But yeah, I love when I don't have to be that guy. I love when somebody can do that. And it's super fun.
So I know you play a couple different things. Do you have a preference of what you write on? Piano, guitar?
Yeah, piano.
Guitar
for me gets so, like, it's so pigeonholed for some reason. Like,
yep.
I don't know why that is, but I guess it's just because it just sounds like one thing. And it's funny to say because piano sounds like one thing, but even with piano, you can get into like adding more verb or adding mm-hmm. more stuff or like going to a Rhodes or going to a, you know, there's a little bit of vibe you can create because for the worship space, it's all built around that, you know?
Yep.
I feel like I can put myself in the room at church mentally if I have like more of the piano reverby vibe going on. I can feel it better. Then acoustic is a little bit like, it's hard to imagine it sometimes for me, you know? So
yeah.
Piano is awesome. Yeah.
Let me ask you this and we're going to move on a little bit, but I'm curious, like in the room sometimes when, as I know a lot of writers, even guys like me and you who do this for a living, there's that moment in the writing session where you hit a brick wall sometimes and you just kind of like, you have to
yep.
keep pushing, plowing through to get that one line.
Yeah.
What are things that work for you that to help kind of plow through those stall points?
Oh man, those are so hard and they happen all the time. I think I usually try to just change the pace to somehow, like, you know, like I said, like switching an instrument, get up and walk around.
Yeah, like, a pacer, yeah.
Yeah, just I try to kind of change the pace. Or if I get stuck on something, I think sometimes I try to go to a different section and work, or I just try to like, I guess I don't try to stress out about it. I just try to sometimes think like songs need to brew. Sometimes sections need to, they need to brew, like, or you need to brew. Like, you don't fully understand yet how to communicate that song or what it even needs to say. And so a lot, I think the worst thing we can do is rush it. The worst thing we can do is feel like we just have to finish or whatever and just settle. You know, I'm not afraid to leave something undone the day it's like started, and then take a week or take a time to just not even think about it for a week. Like, just leave it there. And actually, like, a lot of song, I mean, some people may get annoyed that I write this way if they're writing with me. I'm sure they do, because they'll be like, hey, are we going to finish that song? I'm like, I don't think so. But sometimes, I mean, if I get stuck and I set that song down for a week, and if it comes back up, that's usually a good indicator for me to know, like, okay, this is worth finishing. And then a lot of times, if I set a song down and it never comes back up, I'm just kind of like, well, at least for me, I'm like, maybe my time's not best spent there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a great gauge to just let it rest. And if you can't rest, then you know it's like a song that you need to like go finish. And sometimes a breather can help with that, you know? Yeah. And then, like I said, finishing the song over text later on, if you really care about it, you think it's special, that's nice too, because you can write together, but there's not a time pressure on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can sit down and record a voice memo and send a text, and then that person can take as long as they want to like get their thoughts together and respond, and they can wait till they have something worth responding with and all that, you know, that kind of thing. That's a fun, pressureless way to write, I think.
Do you like writing this way over Zoom?
No.
I hate it too.
No, because the timing is weird. Like, you can't ever play together. The timing is weird. Nah, I would rather do the text thing. I would rather, like, that to me is way better than writing on Zoom. Because I can, if we're going to talk super fast like this, so if we're going to be together technically, then we could talk just that fast over text. You know, we can sit there and spit ideas and voice texts and stuff. You know, we could sit and text for 6 hours straight through and write, but at least it's like, at least I've got time to like, you know, depart from it. And I don't have to be trying to play with you while you're playing and it's weird the timing. Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. And I like to build tracks when I'm writing. So it's even, I feel way out of my comfort zone because nobody can hear what I'm doing. I can't. It's the real time is gone, you know. And so,
do you know? We're gonna get super techy here, but we're on the right podcast for it.
Yeah.
Do you know about the whole Listen To app?
Yes,
the Listen To plugin.
Okay. Yes.
So I'll do a little plug here,
please.
And, so what this plugin is you can put the plugin into your DAW, whatever you use. So if you're like that, if you're a songwriter. And even if you're not a track guy, but you still have a piano sound up in your session, you can send the person you're writing with the stereo feed, like your stereo bus, into their studio, or they can even listen on Safari. Like, they don't even have to have a studio or whatever. And that you can literally hear full quality audio, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So I think it's audiomovers.com, and it's the Listen To plugin, and it's like a really cheap subscription.
Yeah.
But that's actually how we've been working on music with producers and stuff in this quarantine, is I've been sharing my session, Listen To, and he's been sharing his, and then we're on FaceTime. So we at least can like hear each other's, you know, tracks and stuff in good quality audio. And that's been amazing. And the latency is like, you can get it down to 0.1 seconds. Mm-hmm. So it can be pretty real time. And at least, it's inspiring. You're not hearing it over the phone. You're hearing it like in your space.
That's good.
In your headphones.
I haven't thought about it for writing. I've been using it lately to approve some mixes.
That's the way everybody uses it.
And so, but I haven't thought about it from a writing perspective. So that's good. Thanks for mentioning that. But well, bro, you've had a lot of impactful songs in the church. And I mean, Cross Is the Final Word, What Freedom Feels Like, Run to the Father, you know, especially in the last year or so, just some great songs have come out. But man, I want to talk about The Blessing, how that came about. The impact in such a small amount of time that this song has had has been massive. And it's not surprising that God would drop that song in this season right now for the church to kind of anchor into. And I know you wrote it with Pastor Steven and Chris and you and Carrie. But man, to walk me through, I just want to hear the story behind how this song kind of just got birthed.
Yes. So we were in Charlotte. We went to Charlotte to lead just a weekend service, and then we tacked a writing day on the front of it, you know, and we were sitting down that day and we wrote a song. We wrote a whole different song first. So it was one of those sessions, you know, normal. We started at 10 or 11. We wrote till about 5 or 6, and we wrote a song, and we were sitting down to demo it. And when we were like sitting down, setting up the keys and just playing around to start the demo, Pastor Steven kind of grabbed a guitar and started playing. Like, we were in B for the other song. So he started playing in B and, you know, singing this, some of this idea around like the number 6 kind of blessing thing. Mm-hmm. And he had the kind of a whole different melody, whole different lyric with it, but it was the same kind of theme, you know? And so we just kind of waited for a second. We kind of joined in and just kind of let him do his thing and sat there and kept playing. And after a few minutes, he was like, man, I've really been wanting to write a song around this, you know, priestly blessing for a long time. And he was like, do you think, should we chase this, or should we, you know, should we just demo and go home? And I think we were all kind of like, yeah, we're here, let's go, let's do it, you know? And I remember being tired, actually. Like, if you do songwriting sessions all the time, you know, like 6 o'clock rolls, you're like, I need to get some food. I need to go home. Like, I'm ready to get out of here, you know? And I remember feeling that way. But at the same time, it was like the specialness of the moment, and the fact that Carrie and I were out of town doing this, something about it was just like, yeah, let's go, let's do it. And I'm like, thank you, God. Like, I can't imagine if we would have been like, ah, I'm tired, let's go. Like, that's something I don't even want to think about, because I'm like, how many other times have I done that in my life and missed a song? I don't know, you know? And I also don't want to write 2 songs a day every day.
Right.
So I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we literally just, we started going down this road, and, you know, we started with that blessing. And I remember, you know, he kind of wrote a creative way to say that blessing. Like, you know, as you do normally, you do it, take a scripture and you kind of find a new way to say it, which is, I love doing that. He kind of started with that. And then he goes, you know what? I think that we need to write like an exact translation, like the exact blessing. And so I remember we went through, and I was like, okay. And I remember I was like, all right, well, so I opened up a translation that I love, and I like just kind of copied and pasted it into my notes. And I remember as soon as I did that, it was like this like light bulb download, instantaneous kind of thing happened, where I had the melody. I didn't know it would be the melody, but I had the melody instantly and the chords. Like, I just kind of knew, okay. But I was like, well, I'm going to try this. Like, let's try this. And, you know, went right into, Lord bless you and keep you, make you, you know, and I kind of expected the natural, like, yeah, okay, like, what if we tweak this? What if we did this? And I got done singing it, and everybody was like, yeah, cool, that's it. And I was like, okay, like, really?
Which rarely happens, right? I mean, rarely does that happen.
Never happens. Nor was I expecting that to happen. I was just like, I just feel like I have an idea to start us, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, no, that's amazing. That's it, you know? And the only thing that I had, my translation that I pulled up said, God bless you and God keep you. Pastor Stephen goes, that just sounds like a sneeze to me. I feel like we should just change it to, the Lord bless you and keep you, you know, the Lord make his face shine upon you. And I was like, yeah, that's a good point. So that's the only thing we changed from that original like light bulb thing. So then we knew, we kind of were rolling. And then I remember somehow we got onto the idea of like the amens. Just, what if the chorus is just literally like agreeing, like saying essentially like, we receive that, we agree, let it be so. Everything the amen means.
Yeah.
And not even realizing, you know, at the time that it would go into all these different countries. And what's insane about the chorus is that the chorus is the same no matter where you sing it. It's like mind blowing to me, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't even know that, but that's essentially what God was setting up. But like, we built this whole chorus, and that took us probably the longest, honestly, just really finding the right melodies. Like, we did all these different melodies, ideas, and, you know, it's hard to write something simple, you know. You have to work hard to make it feel like you didn't work very hard,
right,
you know.
Yep.
And so that we churned on that a good bit. And I remember while we were churning on that, Carrie started getting the bridge idea. And that's, I actually posted it on Instagram. There's this little clip of a voice memo on my Instagram that where you can hear us working on the amen melodies, and then she kind of just goes into this, his favor be upon you, your family, your children. you know, and it was such a funny moment because you can hear in that voice memo, like, she goes into that because she kind of went off in her own little world with her journal and she was like doing something for like 10 minutes and then she started that. And you can hear Steven go, yes! He was like, yes, that's it. Like, keep going, keep going. And, you know, and then even like the second time she sang it, you can hear him go, and their children, and their children, you know.
Wow.
So it literally just like fell out. It just happened. And I remember we kind of wrote that section first and we thought that might just be the bridge, you know. And then the idea came on where it was like, you know, and what if we write about like, you know, his presence above you, beneath you, behind you, around you. Like, what if we, you know, that whole promise of God in scripture. So we wrote that whole thing and we actually had above and beneath at one point, and then we replaced it with around and within, which felt way more like kind of encompassed the whole thing. And then Chris Brown, after we were going to write that, he kind of went into this thing when we were flowing, like in the morning, in the evening, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, oh yes. Like that's another one. We could do that. And so then we started going down and then we thought of coming and going, like, that's like, that sounds like to me that the thing that you like get printed on a plaque and you stick in your house. Like that's like what, you know, like our mom's generation, like those are the things that you saw in your house posted. And it was like, that's what felt so amazing about that. This song is, it literally felt like this kind of timeless truth. I mean, it's all scripture. So these timeless blessings of God being put to like modern worship, like our like modern music, our culture that we are in right now. And it was like this kind of thing coming together. And so it was just one of those moments, man, like that you just like hope to be a part of as a songwriter where it literally feels like the song just writes itself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if I think about it, I mean, it's like really all four of our lives coming together and all the journeys that we've been on, all four of us have been on for years and years and years. It's always like all of our journeys coming together is what kind of created that moment at the same time. It's like, and that's what's so good about collaborating with people is you bring your journey, you bring your perspective, you bring your experience, but then you also get everyone else's experience. And I think there's like a holy combustion that happens when I sit down with somebody else and it's like, give me your perspective of God. Give me your perspective of this. And it often makes it better, you know? And I think that's kind of what happened. And I don't know, like God just, for whatever reason, like he saw that, I think, you get into this whole thing, you could have theological conversations on this all day. But I mean, from my perspective, it was like, I think he saw it or knew that it was an opportunity to drop a song into the world that needed to happen immediately for the time that we were about to step in. And it's like, that's crazy to me because we wrote it so fast. It just happened in a couple hours. We were already leading worship at Elevation that weekend. They obviously are all set up to do all the any recording you would ever need to do. It's there. The infrastructure is there.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was literally like it was set up from God to just be like a song for the time and a song to carry the church through clinging to the hope of God. Like it's not over. We're not done. Nothing can stop us. And literally like if I were to wrap that song up and really the blessing of God up in two phrases, it would be God is with you and he's for you. Mm-hmm. He's for you and he's with you. That's it. That's essentially what we're clinging to as the church is he's with us and he's for us, you know? And it's just mind blowing to me that God did what he did through that. And I remember leading it at church was special. And we kind of saw this like overwhelming response from people like just around the world, Instagram, that were just watching their stream, from friends, like songwriting friends, worship leader friends, like around the world that were like, just happened to see it because someone shared it with, within like 24 hours, there was overwhelming response to the point where we thought, okay, this is special. And then I remember feeling like God saying, if you don't release this right now, it will be strictly disobedient for you not to do so. Wow. Like I felt this like strong, and I went to Carrie and I was like, babe, I feel like God just told me this. I feel like God just told me we have to put this out. And I was releasing a record a week from then. Elevation was releasing a record like 3 weeks from then, a month from then, without the song on it. So like on paper, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But it was almost like God was saying, I do not care about any of that right now. Mm-hmm. Like you need to release this. And I remember getting on the phone with Elevation guys and having the same conversation. They're like, what are we going to do with this song? Because we all feel like it's timely. We feel like it has to come out right now, but we don't know what to do with all of our other plans, you know?
Right.
And we all kind of just came to the point through a lot of just conversation and all the scenarios. We were just like, all right, we just got to put it out. We feel like, and literally the day it came out was like the weekend that everything went into shutdown. You know, everything was just like happening and getting crazy. And, you know, a national emergency was declared like a week after it. And so it was just wild, man, to see God doing that. And it's been a blessing for our family. Like we cling to it just the same. It almost feels like we didn't write it. It almost just feels like it was a gift from God.
Yeah.
As much for us as it was, you know what I mean? For anybody. Yeah. So it's trippy to be in the process of being a part of something like that when technically you wrote it. But I just was in the room, man. Yeah. I don't know. Like it was crazy, man.
Well, it just shows, again, we talked about this earlier. There's no formula to this. There's no prediction to this. It's having that attuned antenna, like you've been saying, to just being attentive to what the Lord downloads in our hearts and our spirit to write about. That's the responsibility of writing for the church, is to have that attuned ear to His Spirit constantly and just being obedient. Because man, if you'd have been like, nah, man, my record's coming out, we don't need to release this. Can you imagine? We wouldn't be talking right now, probably. So. No, but I mean, I'm just saying that it just shows that, you know, it's not about your agenda or a label's agenda or a publisher's agenda. It is about the kingdom and making sure that we resource the kingdom with song. Because I mean, I'm here at Gateway Franklin here, and I mean, we Pastor Charlie. We always end our service with that number six blessing.
I love
that. And now it gives us another fresh voice for that. And we've done it. Now we've done it here.
Yes.
I think I texted it to you, that church in Romania that my pastor helped start. Mm. And they were doing it in Romania in their native tongue. So, I mean, it's already going around the world. Been out, 2 months, 6 weeks? I mean, it's just amazing to see how God has breathed on it and how technology is being used by the Spirit to push it around the world and encourage the church. Is there any, real quick, is there any specific story you've heard back that's just encouraged youth from that song?
Oh man, I mean, one of my favorite things I've seen recently is whenever there was a group of worship leaders in Pittsburgh, and it was about 40 different worship leaders, and they're all from different churches in the city of Pittsburgh or in the area of Pittsburgh. And so they're all coming on together, like recording it on Zoom or whatever, however they did it. But they're like, literally each one of them was singing a different line of the song, and it would show the name of their church down below. Wow. And so you saw this like unifying of the church in a city to sing the blessing of God over their city. Like that blew my mind, man. Like that shook me to the core, because I realized like, man, I think that God's doing something really significant in this time. Like I think that He's unifying and purifying the church. And it's like, man, I just think we're going to come out of this and realize like, you said that the agendas don't matter, dude. That's it, man. We build so many agendas on stuff that literally doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All that matters is that people know the love of Jesus. It's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Yep.
And that's the thing that we build rewards up in heaven with. That's the thing that for eternity we're going to have the rewards for, not the agendas on the earth to build our own things or make money or do it, whatever. Doesn't matter. And I think that's something that maybe God's doing in this time. I think he's he's just peeling away all the stuff that doesn't matter, you know? Because when you come into a time of emergency, when you come into a time of like pandemic, like all the stuff that doesn't matter just falls away. Yeah. You only focus and cling on the things that do. And man, I pray that we don't go back to agendas after this. I pray that we don't go back to church, like churches competing and gosh, writers competing and artists competing and all of like Christian music industry competing. Like, yep. please God, let's not go back to that. Like, let's be about unifying together to spread the love of Jesus and loving each other and celebrating each other. And God says where there is unity, there is a blessing.
yep.
So here you go. Like where there's unity, there is a blessing. And so, man, like let's move forward in this, like realizing that we need each other and that we're in this together, and that at the end of our life, the money we made, the success we had, the whatever kingdom we built for ourselves is literally going to crumble. It's not going to matter. It's, you know, let's not build on that. Let's build something that's sustainable for the rest of eternity. You know, the kingdom of God, people knowing Jesus. So
that's good, man. Well, man,
don't get me fired up, dude. Don't get
bro,
me fired.
Let's keep going.
I'll start preaching.
Well, I think that's a beautiful way to just put a period on this thing, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's again, kingdom focus is where all this is headed in edifying the church, edifying one another. So I would encourage you guys who are listening. Cody's got a great record out, Run to the Father. And bro, there's some great songs on there for the church. We've been leading Nothing Else here in Run to the Father at Gateway Franklin. And it's just, our people have so responded to it. I think it's the simplicity of it that people love going back to in their lyrics and in these melodies, but they're still just got some fresh clothes on them that speak. Mm. And so, dude, thanks for being obedient to your calling and writing and resourcing and loving the church well. And we are grateful as a collective church, the big capital C church, for your obedience to just have that antenna up and just be attuned to what God is speaking into you. So we bless you and the rest of the family as well. And so grateful for what you're doing.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be here. You're awesome.
Well, I hope more than anything, you were able to see into the heart of Cody Carnes through this conversation, his heart to write incredible songs for the church, to be an amazing worship pastor that impacts the church off stage and on stage, to be a great father and all in between. So thank you, Cody, and your amazing team for carving out some time for us to just hang out on this podcast today. If you haven't already, let me encourage you to head over to mysongcapture.com. If you're new to the podcast, Song Capture is a demo production service for worship songwriters. Maybe you've written a song, you need a great demo for it. Maybe you're a worship pastor who's written a song and need a great demo for your worship team to learn your song. That's what we do. So head over to mysongcapture.com. Check us out. We'd love to serve you in any way we can. We hope you have a fantastic rest of your week. We'll see you here soon on the Song Capture Podcast.